Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, have you ever worked in a haunted office? An office where things just don't seem to go right. A haunted office where things always seem a bit off. Today, we hear the very real story that leads one person to wonder, is their office haunted?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd absolutely love to hear them. You can write them on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or write them on our website, I think I already said that. I'm sorry. I'm a little clustered out right now because during the creepy voice there, you were like, turn my headset down. I'm like, okay. And I have like three knobs over here. That sounds bad. and I'm like, which one is it? And
I'm sorry.
Of course, it was the last one.
I didn't mean to distract you. It was just really, like, piercingly loud in my headset.
Is it better?
It's all better. It's great.
I think I don't know what the other two do. I think it's for the phone. I think that's Carol's.
Uh-oh.
For the computer that she talks through. Because Carol's really an Alexa. Carol's not a human being. She's just an Alexa that talks and has a personality. But I think that's her feeds over there. I've been really trying to label everything in here the last year. This is the one thing I haven't.
Sorry.
Gotta get my Label Baby Jr. out and use that. Remember Label Baby Jr. from Seinfeld?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Popular item.
Yeah.
Everybody loves it. I have a little label thing over here, but.
Didn't she end up giving it to the dentist or he gave it to her?
Yeah. What was the story? What happened?
It was a regift. That was the whole start of regifting.
It was. Mm-hmm. The Label Baby Jr. Was that the dentist that was doing inappropriate things to Jerry, where they gave him the laughing gas and then he like woke up and felt like violated? Or was that a different dentist?
No, I don't remember the violation. It was Bryan Cranston.
Okay.
And the dentist.
What was his name on?
Tim Watley.
Yeah. Yep. You're great at that. You're really good at like random trivia.
Yeah.
So anyhow, 855-853-4802. Is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's get our first letter. It says, surprisingly enough, this happened when I was at work on August 9th, which does make going there even more eerie. I was on my normal route after coming back from one of my FedEx locations in my city. I just come through the door with what we call the dirt room. Remember, there was a reminder, I was on my phone texting when this happened. I just finished up mopping a walkway and had walked around the corner with my cart in the poorly lit shop. I continued texting my mom, and that was when I started getting cold. The building is normally cold, but not that cold. And the feeling of being watched overcame me. I then looked up. There were about 20 feet in front of me, and I saw a face peering out of a shelf at me. The obvious thought was, is there anybody else in there? And I called my boss asking if he knew if there was anyone around, and he said no. The face was there for a good 10 minutes, just staring. Then I realized it was the face of a child. I quickly looked back at my phone to see if it would disappear when I looked back up towards it. It did, or I did, and I watched the face slowly disappear into the shelves. After I had heard this forced, high-pitched laugh, the laugh itself was what really scared me. It didn't sound like a child at all. It sounded more like a boy trying to laugh like a girl. But the strange thing is, the face looked like a little girl. The laugh echoed throughout the shop. I don't know how my boss didn't hear it. That's when the chills and goosebumps started. I'd chosen to continue my routine, but did not know what was yet to come. Right as I finished up the bathroom I was going to before the face popped out, I started noticing that things were in completely different places from where the employees left them. I moved those items back to their original places, but as I would start to walk away from them, they'd fall on the floor. I knew I had put the items far enough on the shelves to where they wouldn't fall. I'd pick them back up, and once I'd put them back a second time, they were left alone. This kept going until I got to the next set of bathrooms. That's when it got weird. I was going in and out of the bathrooms, grabbing cleaning supplies off my cart. The last time I came out to grab the cleaner we used for the mirrors, and it was nowhere to be found. I looked everywhere in the area I was in. When I came back, the bottle was back on my cart. After it reappeared, I had heard what sounded like a toddler running and stomping barefoot on a hardwood floor, followed by faint giggling. I wish I would have caught this all on video, but sadly I couldn't due to the policy of the company that we clean for. Needless to say, now I clean with all the lights on. Keeps the activity down to a minimum. I honestly don't know if there was anything bad that happened on that section of land or after the building was built. This was the most recent one, but I've had quite a few other events happen in the past. I may write those in at another time.
I would imagine people that clean offices or clean homes, just like any other type of contractor, see so much because they're in and out of so many buildings that they run into stuff all the time like this.
I don't think it's probably a good job to have if you're sensitive.
Yeah, I think you'd pick up on a lot.
It's just numbers, really. I mean, the more you're exposed to those environments or the more you're exposed to different environments, the more likely you are to come across it. You know, it's an odds game.
At some point, yeah.
At that point, if you're sensitive, where you'd almost kind of like have to pick a job where it's the same workplace you're going to day in and day out. And if that one is haunted, well, then you probably should get a different job somewhere else. But if you know it's good and it's not active with activity, then you're fine. But when you're constantly, well, we got a new client here, we got to go do this one, and you're constantly going from house to house. Mm-hmm. I think realtor would probably also fall into that.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything with the environment, not just a lot of different places you go to, but the number and the location of the numbers are constantly in flux. Mm-hmm. It's never just the same, here's my route. It's the same places every day. But no, it's like the route changes as to where you're going to be. Having to be subjected to. Thanks for sharing that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. So I got to ask, how late is too late in the season to have your Halloween decorations up? And I'm not asking for me because I took ours down the day after.
I honestly kind of feel like once you're past Halloween and any possible Day of the Dead celebrations that go on for the next couple of days, then I think it should be down.
Yeah.
So I would say the week after at the most.
You get a whole week.
I would say at the most. Just shit. Because, people are busy.
If I knew that, I would have.
You're not that busy. You can take it down.
I'm too busy.
You're not. You're not so busy.
Do you know what I do?
Yeah, but you're not so busy you can't go out there and take it down.
Well, usually when I'm doing things like that, I'm taking a break from my other stuff. So what I do is I take a break and I do other work.
I know.
It's not like I'm just going to go sit and watch TV for an hour.
No, I didn't mean it like that. I just meant because you have a more flexible schedule,
sure.
You have the availability to take it down.
Kind of getting flustering with your words right now.
I'm just flustered with you.
Had I known that you would have been thinking it was socially acceptable to keep the graveyard up a week?
Difference. No, that's not what you asked.
I asked how long is it okay to keep your stuff up?
That's like almost like a neighborhood policy. Like you need to have it down the week after Halloween.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Not like I think it's fine to do that. It's like people in our neighborhood that still have their shit up need to take it down.
And a lot of people have not.
I know.
We're talking like obnoxious Halloween shit.
Blow up stuff.
Yeah. I should note this is airing in like December, so okay. It's not still up.
No.
We're recording this on November 6th. I don't know. I already got the Christmas garland up now. I really just kind of flipped it out like a department store. It's like, okay, this department's done or this season's over and we're moving to the next one.
Yeah.
But
you've had time to already put the Christmas decorations up, but you're going to jump all over me because I mentioned taking the Halloween ones down.
Huh?
When I said you're not so busy that you can't take them down.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, you're also not so busy that you can't put Christmas up in the second week of November.
I did it on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I did, didn't I?
I think so.
That was a weekend project.
Yeah.
See? I got my excuses.
Okay.
I don't know. I thought maybe could, is Day of the Dead like a, is that a week celebration? I know it's a thing. I just don't know much about the duration
of it. It's supposed to be the day, like first day of November ish. Okay.
Day implies it's a day, but is it a longer celebration?
I think sometimes, depending on how it falls, some of the celebration can carry over to like the day after that. Because mm-hmm. I want to say that there was some stuff going on here, like to the second mm-hmm. celebration stuff, just because of logistics. So that makes sense.
Can I do like Day of the Dead murals on our brick wall out front? Like
Abuelos?
No, I was thinking more like...
Because that's what they have in Abuelos.
They do, don't they? Those yeah. And that's a Mexican restaurant here that...
it's a chain.
It really has some neat artwork in there.
A lot of places.
I was thinking more like Coco with the masks, the Halloween masks. That probably wouldn't be accepted as like, that's okay to do.
I wouldn't do that.
Kind of graffiti-ish.
Because I think our neighborhood would frown upon that, as would most.
All year long. It's just the Coco masks, I think.
But I know, like, Livy came home talking about they did a whole day celebration the day after Halloween, which was a Friday this year, and they learned all kinds of stuff that she didn't know.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah.
You get Halloween and Day of the Dead. Well, we did Halloween, which was fun, but that was it. It was done, you know? Right. You get two kind of Halloween-y days. Mm-hmm. Bonus.
I know.
That's great. 855-853-4802. Is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Next letter says, I've been listening to you guys for a while. I've had some paranormal experiences in my life, some ghost-related. Some are just weird. After speaking to you a few times last year during a few live shows, I realized I probably should have some mild sensitivity. After realizing that, I started thinking the sensitivity might explain some weird things that happened to me throughout my life, as long as I could remember. I was afraid of the dark. Open doors to dark rooms always made me nervous, especially in my childhood bedroom. When I would go into my room at night, I would have to open the door just enough to fit my hand through, turn my light on, then I could open the door and walk into my room. Now, as an adult, realizing this mild sensitivity, I wonder if this fear was of a child, of me, sensing something in the room when I was a child, but not realizing what the feeling was because I was a kid. One night I was alone in the gym in the apartment complex where I live. As I walked in the treadmill, I couldn't help but feel like I was being watched. I expected to find some creepy guy staring at me while I walked on the treadmill, but nobody was there. At one point, I paused the treadmill and searched the entire gym, thinking someone might be hiding. I found nobody. After my search, I got back on the treadmill and continued my walk. After a minute, the treadmill just shut off. I pushed buttons, but nothing happened. It was as if someone pulled the plug. I just always thought it was weird and creepy. Very odd experience. Now I'm starting to think differently. I used to walk dogs and babysit to make some money while I was in college. One of my regular clients was a woman with two dogs, Lincoln and Peanut. One night, I had a dream that I was walking the dogs. Peanut's leash came unclipped, and she started to run away. This wasn't unusual to me, since I used to have these dreams a lot, but that night was his first time in a long time that I had had that dream. Next day, I went to walk the dogs as normal. While walking Peanut and Lincoln that day, Lincoln came out of his harness and started to run away. I managed to catch him, put the harness back on him and finished the walk. I thought it was weird at the time that I had dreamt about Peanut and it happened to Lincoln the very next day. Looking back on all these and other weird experiences, such as being touched on the shoulder, seeing shadows out of the corner of my eye, seeing my uncle after he died, and seeing a woman walk through my living, I wonder if all of these experiences are part of this mild sensitivity. I didn't know I had until recently. I'd love to know what your thoughts are, Tony, and as you think of all of this. Thoughts?
I think when you realize you're sensitive, then you start going back and reanalyzing all your experiences that you've had that were kind of off or a little weird or weird feelings. Mm-hmm. And then you realize, how did I not know I was sensitive? You know, that just kind of hits you. And then it all comes together and makes sense. So I think, you know, once you start considering that to be a possibility, it really frames how you look at things a lot mm-hmm. differently. But it also makes you more aware of when something is going on that's kind of weird, what it could be.
Yeah, I think that's true. I was thinking when they're mentioning, you know, was this part, you know, childhood sensitivity, and then a lot of people kind of grow out of it. And then my mind started thinking about that, too. I remember being a kid and I think most of us remember being a kid and not wanting to go into a dark room. Mm-hmm. And, and some of it's just childhood, your mind doing what it does. But sometimes you'd have this feels more off than normal. But you flip the light on and you go in and you get on with it. As an adult, I'll walk into any room in the dark, as long as I know there's not like a tripping hazard in there, and I won't be that concerned with it. It's like at some point I just kind of tuned or turned that sensitivity down. And I'm not saying I had sensitivity to ghosts or anything when I was younger, but there was certainly more of a concern and more of a sensitivity level there where, it would hold me back from doing some things or at least make me more cautious about it because I'd get a feeling.
Yeah.
Of like, this is weird or this is off. And that could have just been, childhood, like I said, being, scared of things irrationally because you're a kid. But I suppose some of that could also play into, as we get older, sometimes turning that sensitivity down just to get on with life and to be able to function more so as an adult. I remember early adulthood almost convincing myself that I didn't believe in ghosts too. Mm-hmm. Like when I was 18, 19, I was very curious and never stopped the curiosity. But I think there was a good year or so there where I really thought maybe there's nothing to this. This is all just stories. And then I reverted back to my belief in ghosts again.
And look at your life now.
I know. But it never stopped the curiosity or the interest in the topic. But it was almost, I think, part of that time where you kind of stop giving into some of those anxieties and fears. Mm-hmm. And along with that, then I think you start to dismiss some things too, to further validate what you're doing.
Yeah.
And then you kind of hone back to, okay, that seemed a little bit too far swing of the pendulum that way. Maybe it's more so here in this middle ground and not so much over on the other direction either. Mm-hmm. to kind of balance it out.
I think that to some degree, all kids at some point are afraid of the dark. Mm-hmm. And I think it's an instinctual thing because it's like a learned thing from, hundreds of years of children should be afraid of
animals
what they can't see and, potential to be harmed by something they can't see.
Sure.
So, I'm talking, caveman type instincts.
It's only a couple hundred years ago.
All right. Millions of years. I know. But anyway. So I think some degree there's that, but then you outgrow it. But the sensitivity is when you turn the light on and there's something there.
Sure. I never had that.
That's different.
Yeah.
But I think to some degree we all have that afraid of the dark for at least some point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you ever have this irrational or which seem to be irrational fears of certain places or areas that you never had been to before? Like, I just don't like going. You've had it as an adult.
Yeah.
Where it's like, let's not go in that antique store or or down that, whatever.
Yeah.
What is that like? Describe it. What do you feel? Hypothetical situation, and maybe this is one we've been in. Antique store, different booths. Mm-hmm. You get that feeling that I just described there. You don't know what it is, but you're getting, maybe you do know what it is. What is that feeling like?
It's just all of a sudden you think there's something aggressive or hostile there or something that shouldn't be there is there. It's like a fear, and you just want to get away from it. Not like run away, but you're just like, I'm going to just quickly go back the other way.
Even though you are visibly looking and you're seeing a bunch of old mugs, Happy Meal toys, and someone's collection of used chewing gum and hair art.
It's a sensitivity to energy for me.
Can you pick out what the object is?
Not always. No. Sometimes I can. Sometimes I can look and say that is what something is attached to.
Is it ever where it's like you probably could pick out what the object is in something like that, but you just rather not dig that far into it? It's like it's just kind of like emanating. There's like it's like if you had like 5 speakers and you see all 5, you don't know which one the music is coming out of until you literally stick your head next to each one because it's difficult to pick that out. Mm-hmm. Is it like that?
Yeah. And I'm not going to go touching everything in there when I know there's something there to find out what item is haunted.
Okay.
That that's not, I am very particular about what I do and don't touch when I'm antiquing. Mm-hmm. That's why when I antique, a lot of times you'll see my hands, you know, kind of folded behind my back. And I've always done that. I will not just touch any random item. It's certain things that I feel like if I'm going to buy it, then I'll touch it. Mainly because I want to touch it there and feel what I'm going to feel from it versus getting it home and then realizing, oh, shit. Well, it's a whole sensory experience to antique beyond what you probably realize sure. I go through.
I was just thinking I really want to start playing the song Monifa Touch It right now because it just seems like
it'd be... I don't know that song.
It was a song when we were in high school.
Probably.
You might recognize it.
I was a nerd. I don't know.
It was a song. It was at the time considered quite racy because, you know, touch it. It's not referring to antiquing, if you will. But compared to some of this shit that's out there now, this would be like Sesame Street. Let's see if we can.
Yeah.
You remember this?
Yeah.
No.
Jack Knight in Dakota House. All we want to do is make you bounce. Monifa, could you turn me out? Show me what your thing is all about.
Jammin'.
Jack Knight in Dakota House.
Hot 92.3. Here we go. Monifa, could you this is it. Monifa, touch it on Hot. Remember this?
I don't remember this song.
It's about antiquing.
Yeah. It is not. All right.
Every time you go through an antique store, you're going to think, do you really want to touch it? Do you really want to buy that set of plates? That's how it's going to go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. I think I'm probably the only person who've ever linked Monifa's Touch It to a discussion about antiquing.
You're just weird that way.
Hi.
Hey, I love your show. This is Tess from San Jose. I have a story that's, I have many ghost stories, but this is a sweet one and one that that affected my life very much. Years ago, I lived in an apartment that was a fourplex, and when I went to rent the apartment, the people that lived there had told me, you'd be great, you know, in this neighborhood, but please promise us that you'll take care of Selma. You look after Selma. Who's Selma? Well, she's this old lady that lives in the fourplex. She's two doors down. She has a dog, and she, you know, they used to check in on her. So, okay, no problem. So Selma and I become friends, and every day I would walk her old Dalmatian whiskers and in the morning, and then I would come home from work and walk him, and she was so cute. Every time I would return him home, she'd say, did he go Wizzy Dink or Humpty Dump? So, anyway, we had become really good friends, and I had told her that I collected vintage hats. And she said, oh, you know, I have this lovely hat pin. And we go, great, on one of your hats. Okay, so I put the hat pin, in my apartment on a hat. And I guess this was like maybe October. This is kind of the anniversary of her death years ago. She was going out somewhere, and I told her that I would keep Whiskers for the day, the dog. And when I walked out of my apartment to... get the dog. I saw Sally, Selma, laying there on the concrete steps with her coat on and her purse, and apparently she had had a stroke and fell and hit her head on the concrete. So ambulance comes. I have the dog. And I go to the hospital later that night, and they told me I couldn't see her because I wasn't family, but that she was going to die, that she was unconscious. So I went back home, and about 12 o'clock, I said, you know what, fuck it. I went back to the hospital. I snuck in. I got into her room, held her hand, and I told her, you know, Selma, Sally, I always called her Sally, don't worry, I'll take care of Whiskers. He'll be fine, and it's okay. It's okay if you want to go now. So I'm holding her hand, and she squeezed my hand, and it was just so sweet. And I left, and yeah, so she died. I had Whiskers for about maybe another 9 months, and he was pretty old, and he had a sweet little passing. So here's my story. So it's July. It's really super hot. My brother had come over and gave me this old box fan that he had. So it's in my bedroom window, and I have the hats along the wall in between the windows with these long curtains that I had made. And I go to sleep. Here's the thing. I turn on the fan, and the fan's like, rawr, 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 rawr. And, you know, it's like I'm thinking it needs to, like, warm up. So the fan gets going. I'm sleeping. And I have this dream. It's not really a dream. It's weird. This is what happened. Sally is sitting on the bed, and she's, like, shaking me. And Whiskers is at the end of the bed, and she's telling me and pointing towards the window at the hat. And she's like, look at the hat pin. Look at that beautiful hat pin. This is like I'm dreaming, right? And all of a sudden I just sit right up in bed. At the same moment, the fan caught fire onto the curtains. And this is, I don't remember this, but I had to have done this. I grabbed the burning fan, the burning curtains, ran through my apartment, threw the fan out the back door into the driveway. That's when I woke up. And I'm just like looking at this mass of fire. And I just couldn't believe it. And, you know, and I just remembered, you know, Sally. Selma. Her name was Selma. I always called her Sally. You know, being there, like, just kind of nudging me, you know, wake up, look at the hat pin. And anyway, that was just super sweet. And I was so glad that she saved my life, her and Whiskers. So anyway, that's my story. And anyway, I love your show. And thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Do you think maybe since she didn't wake up till she's looking at the burning pile of stuff in the driveway,
mm-hmm.
Do you think maybe Selma kind of took over her abilities to get up and grab those things and then take them out just as a way of saving her?
It's possible.
It's kind of what I'm wondering, since this was all in a unconscious state, that mm-hmm. she actually did get up and take those things out.
Yeah. I think, yeah, I mean, when you have something like this, where you have someone who's passing, you know, it seems there's a extra ability there, like, and there's like a window of time, mm-hmm. Right when someone passes, to either communicate or do something or complete tasks. I don't know. I mean, I would think that's in the realm of possibility in that story.
Yeah.
Or Whiskers did it.
Maybe Whiskers was just there to help her wake up, but she didn't wake up. So maybe Sally or Selma just said, let's get this out of here. You know,
that's true.
That's what I'm thinking.
Thank you for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. I sometimes wonder if some of our neighbors just walk dogs all day.
Why?
Because I see the same people walking the dogs multiple times, like rounds out my window as I'm sitting here working. I think I've seen that gentleman with the dogs go probably about 7 times today. Maybe they just like they retired maybe and just like getting the exercise.
I don't know. I saw something weird the other day and I didn't stop to ask what was going on.
A werewolf?
No, this guy. I kid you not. He was in this yard and there were 20 dogs.
In our neighborhood?
Yes.
The limit's 2.
I know. And these were not bad looking dogs. These were like,
mm-hmm.
they weren't scroungy, like a pack of dogs just wandered in from the woods, mm-hmm. or something. They were like well kept.
Yeah.
And he's like throwing the ball for some of them. And I'm like, I'm going to keep going. You know, if he'd been on the ground being mauled, I would have done something.
What would you have done?
With a man being mauled by dogs.
I would have at least called the police or something.
Okay. You would have gotten out of your car like, hey, puppies.
No, I wouldn't have done that. But I mean, there's only so much you can do when there's 20 dogs.
Live stream it to Facebook.
But I was like, dude, I was just wondering, are you like a professional dog sitter or what?
I wonder if you have that many dogs. I was wondering that too, because you're in a new place. You kind of are getting, it's like a house. You know, you start to hear the noises of the house. Uh-huh. I'm starting to notice as I'm looking out my window. I've been in this office now, what, a week and a half, 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
And I look out my window and I start to see the same people kind of doing their routine.
Yeah.
I've noticed this same gentleman in the green shirt, and it stood out to me because it's kind of a rainy day with dogs. I haven't paid much attention to the dogs.
See?
I wonder if it's a dog walker.
Yeah.
And maybe he's walking the dogs of like five different houses.
That could be.
And that's what it's called.
My other thought was some prankster went around and opened all the gates and let people's domestic dogs out, and they just conjugated in that yard.
Was it Halloween? Was it a trick-or-treat
No,
thing?
This okay. was when I was going around looking at the paint colors on some of the houses to get some ideas.
When you were lurking around people's yards?
I was looking kind of suspicious, but yeah. I was not as suspicious as the guy with 20 dogs. So.
That's true. Or maybe we're looking at it completely different with the dogs. Maybe it's the opposite. Maybe the dogs are walking the person. Maybe someone's hired the dogs to walk that man
because
he gets into trouble. So someone said, my dogs can walk you.
I don't know. These look like show dogs, honestly. They were like specimen dogs.
It's like best in show going on over there. Maybe it was a big dog orgy and they were just trying to get the dogs to populate and...
I don't know.
Did you think of that? Was there any...
I don't go there with animals. You always tend to.
Did you hear this music playing Jack Knight and with the dogs? House. All we want to do is make
it bounce. That's crazy.
You sure? Could be.
I still don't know that song.
Oh. Want to play Who Let the Dogs Out?
No. I know that one. You don't need to play that one.
That one's burned into our minds forever, unfortunately. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. And that is going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. EPP is what we call them. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to get all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes. It's all there for you. $5 a month. Keep us on the air. ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.